You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over 100 journalists have uncovered how Africa's richest woman gained her wealth at the expense of the Angolan state. Isabel dos Santos and her husband have a business empire with holdings in banks, oil, cement, media, telecoms, a brewery, and a supermarket chain. They have luxury properties, a super yacht, and the largest collection of African art in the world. And as of a few days ago, a senior manager at a Portuguese bank co-owned by Dos Santos, who agreed to cooperate in the corruption investigation, has been found dead in Lisbon. Let me guess, the two guards were sleeping. Firstly, let's explain how Dos Santos did it. Projects including the Panama Papers, Paradise Papers, and Mauritius leaks have shown oligarchs, prime ministers, celebrities, criminals, and name brand companies, including Apple and Nike, exploiting loopholes and in the tax system, costing governments billions. Dos Santos is no different. Part of her assets have been frozen by Angolan authorities, but far more has flowed into offshore accounts, luxury homes, art, and other businesses. Doing this makes it very difficult and maybe impossible for authorities to recover it. In what has been dubbed the Luanda Leaks Project, a trove of 715,000 emails, charts, contracts, audits, and accounts reveal that much of her business dealings are bailed out and propped up by the Angolan state. Will Fitzgibbon, a journalist from the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists who have uncovered this Luanda Leaks Project, talks to France 24 about how much Isabel herself was actually involved.
Well, the Luanda leaks are interesting in that Dos Santos herself rarely appears. She does every now and again interject in an email to say, hang on a minute, I'll get on the phone to the Minister of Finance, who just happens to work for her dad's government, and fix a problem. But the fascinating thing about Luanda leaks is really how so much of it happens without her direct involvement. That's because, be it in Malta, in London, in Geneva, in Paris, or in Lisbon, there is a veritable platoon of advisors who know exactly what their client wants. Often they're getting paid millions of dollars to carry out those instructions. And let's be honest, they genuinely operated with the assumption that these kind of emails and this kind of information would never fall into the hands of more than 100 journalists.
One of the most shocking revelations of the Luanda leaks is the last-minute transfer of tens of millions of dollars from Angola's state oil company to a business registered in Dubai. While places like Panama are now much more regulated, Dubai offers companies nearly complete secrecy. Why do billionaires rise in poor countries? The life expectancy in Angola is just 60s. Children die at alarming rates. Steel beams for rebuilding the country are created from war scraps at one of the country's biggest battlegrounds. The oil-rich country had a commodity boom in the 80s, resulting in a temporary surge in prices and revenue, which results in a surge of borrowing, leaving the country in an unsustainable debt burden where prices decline. In Tony Hodges' text, Angola from Afro-Stalinism to Petro-Diamond Capitalism, modern Angola is described as having massive population displacements, rapid urbanization, deepening poverty, changes in ethnic relations and perceptions of identity, and the formation of a post-colonial elite. It is interesting to note that before the Berlin Wall came down, communism was the main sentiment among the Angolan people. While America was still in the Jim Crow era, the Soviet Union was including Africans in its art, media, and propaganda. The 27-year conflict in Angola was effectively a proxy war between the Soviet Union and the United States. It ended with American intervention, resulting in a neoliberal and faux-democratic state. Isabel dos Santos is an example of the transnational elite that neoliberalism has created. In the world's urban centres, the very rich and very poor live right next to each other while existing in different worlds. The global elite works for transnational corporates, and regardless of nationality, they speak English, dress in suits, and have similar views on economics. They send their children to the same universities, Dos Santos herself attending King's College in London. They feel a greater kinship towards each other than towards, arguably, towards their impoverished fellow citizens. The father of Isabel dos Santos, José Eduardo dos Santos, ruled as the president of Angola for almost 40 years in what is technically a multi-party democracy. In reality, however, the different branches of government are all controlled by the same people, with industry and politics effectively all in the same family. Another interesting aspect is that Isabel dos Santos is referred to as the princess in Angola. A highly successful business person named by the BBC as one of the 100 most influential women, in the world. It is important to note that these women are not girl bosses or revolutionaries. If men have architected a civilization, women now are carrying out its destruction.
Around, you know, up to 8,000 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.